Well, as I always do, I ask for your prayers today. I want the Lord to take these moments that we have, make them benefit to us all, benefit to me. I want us all to prosper in the Lord, to grow in the Lord. I have what I feel is a vital Bible doctrine today. It's been on my heart for some time, and I've been holding it before the Lord and meditating over it. I felt like the Lord let me know recently He wanted to bring it today. So I ask for your prayers. We'll write a little title on the board. Thou shalt not commit adultery. This comes, of course, from the Ten Commandments the Lord gave in the book of Exodus. I felt real burdened about this because of the damage that this causes in our society. I have felt burdened because of the way that our world in our United States of America, the country in which you and I live, I cannot speak for other countries because I'm not a citizen there, but I see the impact that it has in our societies, in our communities. And I find, more than I want to acknowledge, that it gets very close to every one of us. And we deal with it, we have the impacts of it. I want everyone in here today to be encouraged to know that there is a God that loves every one of us. There is a God that loves you. There is a God that made a perfect plan of redemption to fit your situation. If you find yourself having been caught in a trap like this, or if you find yourself living in a relationship where there has been divorce, if you find yourself estranged from your companion, that's an uncomfortable place. I want you to know this morning, I'm sorry for you having to deal with that type of a situation. I want you to know that. I want you to know that there is a God who is capable and well able to fill in the blank spaces in a life where the lack of a companion exists. God is able to fill in those blank spaces. I don't know how He does it. I know that God is an all-knowing, all-wise God who is able to love you beyond our comprehension to fulfill what love really is. He is able to do that. But the commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I'd like to try to make a definition of adultery from something that I have understood, read, that is an ancient application of it. Those who worked with plants used the word adultery in describing the union between two plants that were not similar. Take a limb from one plant and graft it into another plant. They used the term adultery because it was an unnatural union. An unnatural union. It wasn't designed that way from the beginning. It wasn't made that way. But man made it that way. So they described that unnatural union as adultery. Those who study the plants and the botanists, they might be able to give an explanation much better than what I am saying. But I get a definition that will work is something like that. Also, it is a relationship between two individuals, two human beings, and a married relationship, a copulative relationship that is outside of the marriage union. That is adultery. And it is something that you and I must fully understand what it is. We need to teach our children what it is. Our children need to know in no uncertain terms that the Bible says, thou shalt not. There's a reason for it. There's a reason that God gave this. And I want us to try to work with that a little bit this morning. But it's something that I feel really burdened about. And let's look at these Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Beginning with the first verse, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What He is saying here, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. We've talked about over the last several weeks, Egypt is a type of sin. And the Lord said, I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of that place. I delivered you from that place. I brought you out of that place. I brought you out of the house of bondage. And then He says, because I did these things for you, because I made it possible where it seemed impossible, because I made a way of escape where there was no way of escape, because I did that for you, I want you to understand that I am the one that can give you the help that you need, the relief, the release that you need. There are things that I can do for you. I want to be your God. I want you to be my people, but I have some requirements. So He said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's pretty plain language. Don't put anything ahead of me. I am the one who is capable of giving you what you need. I am the one who can deliver you. I am the one that is able to open a door when that door is barred shut. I am the one. So thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Don't make any likeness. Don't make anything that you turn your affection to, your senses, your sights to worship. Don't make any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then He goes into the relationship between individuals. Honor thy father and thy mother. Pause here. I'm going to tell you folks, for some, that can be difficult at times. It can be difficult at times because their children are having to deal with this. And they're having to deal with the selfishness in adults that put the children in a situation where they can't handle and deal with all of the pressures placed upon them by, pardon my plain language, selfish adults. Amen. You ever talk to someone who is a victim, a child who is a victim of this type of a situation? And they ask you that question. The Bible says, honor father and mother. Can you help me to know how I do that? You ever answer those kinds of questions? They're not always easy to answer. But the Bible says to honor. So this is the first commandment with promise. Lord, help us to know how to work with these things. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor or lie against him. Say things about him that are not true. Thou shalt not do that. The word of the Lord is not my interpretation. Thou shalt not covet. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 says, 32 and 33, but whoso committeth adultery, or whoso involves himself in an unnatural union with a woman, lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. It is illegal to commit adultery. It is illegal. Many will say it's not a crime, punishable by jail or fine, but it's illegal. It's wrong for many reasons. One of the reasons it is wrong is I want us to understand that when God gave the commandment after He made Adam and created Eve, and the two of them were joined together, we can turn to Genesis 2, 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God, in the very beginning, designed the relationship between one man, one woman. He designed that relationship that way. I'm satisfied in my mind by the principles of the Scripture that He wanted it to be that way, where there would be a commitment between these two individuals, the same type of commitment that He wanted to have between Himself and His creation. And when you and I start looking outside of our relationship with God for satisfaction, for fulfillment, for any level of spiritual fulfillment, if we start playing adultery with the Lord our God, folks, He is displeased. He is the one, He says, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I delivered you from the house of bondage. I delivered you from those things. He is the only one who has the power and the ability to make the change in the heart and the life and the mind of the individual to bring fulfillment that nothing else can. People will look to other things in life. They will look to the satisfying of their lusts, and they will fill their lives with the satisfying of their lusts. But it only brings the need and the hunger and the thirst for more and more and more. And they find themselves at the end of a day, whenever things quiet down, when things get still, when time gets still, when they are no longer in a situation where they are in that type of a relationship, in between or because of just separation in time, that there is a quiet voice that knocks on the heart's door with guilt and shame. And it's one of the reasons why our society is plagued with abuses, addictions, because of people running from guilt and shame. May the Lord help us. May God help us. May God have mercy on our souls. May God have mercy on the souls of our children and our young people, who are dealing with the pressures in a society that has taken away what the natural roles are between man and woman, husband and wife, and tried to degrade those things to where they have no value anymore. God was very clear. He said, "Thou shalt not." Don't do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Familiar scripture. Verse 18. Flee fornication. These two terms, fornication and adultery, are rather synonymous. Adultery is illicit relationship, copulative relationship between married individuals of different partners, different spouses, looking outside of the confines of my marriage to the fulfillment in some other person's marriage, taking their husband, their wife. That's adultery. Fornication follows much along the same vein, but it's between unmarried individuals, Lord, help us with these things. These are uncomfortable to talk about, but we have to deal with them in our society. I want you to know, children, young people, I want you to know that no matter what is set before you to try to justify and to try to give credibility to it, it's wrong. It's wrong. When the Scripture says, "Thou shalt not steal," I know that I cannot go into the grocery store and walk up to the milk aisle and walk out of that store with a gallon of milk without paying for it because I have just stolen a gallon of milk. That's stealing. If I go into another man's house, if I go into another man's business, if I go into another man's relationship with his companion, his wife, and I conduct myself in such a way that I take the affections and things of his wife to myself, I am stealing from that man. I'm stealing from that individual. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. All of these things, folks, tend to come from me being willing to follow my selfish desires and pursue my passions and my lusts and my want to and my way. They lead to so many other things being broken in the life. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man committeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I say to you today that if a man or woman is willing to step outside of the bounds of the legal and biblical acceptable physical relationship for fulfillment in life, they are putting themselves in a situation where emotionally they can't handle the damage that takes place. Amen to that. We put ourselves emotionally where I can't deal with all of the feelings, and it's another reason why we have such a plague in our society today of addictions and abuses. Because we pursue our want-tos. Matthew 19. Verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Can I tell you, folks, mark that phrase down in your minds as an absolute. Mark that down as an absolute from God's Word. He which made them from the beginning made them male and female. And said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Do you hear these words? These are the words of the Master of our redemption. These are the words of the One who brought to us and paid the price for salvation, for our redemption, a price that we could not pay. He says, "What therefore God has joined together, don't let man put asunder." Why do we have this? Read a little further. They say unto him, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?" He saith unto them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts," the hardness of your hearts, "suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so." Mark this down. What God established from the beginning is still a valid constant today. What God established, it does not say that God gave them the authority to have a writing of divorcement. Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, gave you that. I honestly have to tell you, I have puzzled myself and scratched the side of my head and wondered, how did Moses have the authority to give to them the writing of divorcement? Because of the hardness of your hearts. Do you know how trivially they took that? If she puts too much salt on my food, I can write her a divorce. If my food is cooked too much, I can write a divorce. If my food is not cooked enough, I can write a divorce. If she has come to a place in life where she no longer pleases me the way she looks, I can write a divorce. If she has done things that make me unhappy, I can write a divorce. Trivial things. Folks, that comes from the hardness of a man's heart. That comes from a man that has become dissatisfied and hard and hardened, not only against his companion. Before he could ever become hardened against his companion, he first had to become hardened against his Maker. Before he could ever reach this place, he had to become hardened against the Creator. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. Oh, boy. Here is where people do everything they can to wiggle, twist, and squirm to find an excuse to get outside of the marriage covenant and find another companion. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. The Bible is pretty clear about those kind of things. People will twist and squirm and wiggle and try to come up with all manner of reasons to justify moving into that type of relationship. Thou shalt not, is what the Bible says. Ephesians 5:31. And 32. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The apostle says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. There is another reason, folks, a fundamental reason why the Lord said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Because it is an affront. Hear me here. It is an affront to the divine mind, the divine plan, and the divine will of God for one man and one wife. One man, one woman to be joined together. Of course, we understand that if in the course of time one companion should pass away, that the other companion is legally and biblically free to remarry within the bounds of propriety. He does not have the right to go try to claim another man's wife. Well, they're still both alive. But he has the right, he or she has the right, biblically and lawfully, to remarry within the boundaries of the Scripture. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I think that's one of the key elements why the Lord said, don't commit adultery. Because my divine plan, my divine mind and divine will was to make this relationship a symbol to the world and society around us of what my relationship is with my church. Bride and bridegroom. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. He does not want you and me looking outside of that relationship to find fulfillment for our spiritual needs. The truth of the matter is, folks, we won't find it. We'll be searching, 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 searching. Always looking, never satisfied, never fulfilled. It's empty. Now, I'd like to just speak for a few minutes here on the impacts on our children. Because the truth of the matter is, adults will do what adults want to do. We will do what we want to do. We will find a way, we will find a reason to accomplish those things that we want to accomplish in life. Humanity has shown itself to be so selfish so uncaring, so indifferent to the needs and the wants of others that they are willing to do whatever it takes to ride over other people to get my way. Impacts on the children. Number one, it takes time and energy away from the children to pursue my selfish desires. They are pushed aside. Amen. When I pursue my selfish desires, if I have children in this relationship, they suffer. Because my time and my energy is divided between what I'm supposed to be doing and this other interest that I am pursuing. And it has to be pursued many times behind the color cloud of darkness and deception. And you think they don't pick those kinds of things up? They feel it. They suffer from it. They're pushed aside. Number two, it destroys trust between the other spouse and the children. Once it all comes out to light, you tell me what they're going to do with that information once it becomes available to their little minds. You tell me how they're going to decipher it all. You tell me how they're going to respond and react to those things when they find out that this is the things that mom and dad are involved in, mom or dad are involved in. Difficult. It destroys trust. Guilt and shame. Guilt and shame. Not only for the offending parties, those who are the offenders, those who are guilty of committing adultery, the guilt and shame, but it also falls on the children. They feel the guilt and the shame of realizing that mom and or dad are involved in a relationship outside of what is supposed to be right, what is supposed to be for me, for us. They are involved outside of that, and they don't know how to handle the feelings. And they end up being so very frustrated in life. They end up being angry. They end up being angry with authority. They end up being angry with God because of the things that they're having to deal with, the guilt and the shame. It leads to divorce. It leads to divorce. Who are the ones that suffer the most if children are involved in a relationship? Who are the ones that suffer the most when it leads to divorce? The little ones. The children. Even if they're on up in years, 17, 18 years old, they still have to carry that albatross around their necks. And may the Lord help us to remember and to pray for those who are in that situation in life. They have to carry that. They have to carry that all along the way. We need to remember them, pray for them. We sometimes find ourselves, folks, and this is the truth of the matter. We sometimes find ourselves involved in situations that are not all of my doing. Somebody else might have selfish ideas, selfish thoughts, selfish desires, and I can't fix their heart. I can't change their heart. And they choose to leave me. They choose to pursue interests outside of me and our relationship. And there are things that I may try to do, you may try to do to try to repair and fix and put it all back together. You can't make another human being do things that they do not want to do. And we find ourselves in those kinds of places. I want you to know, wherever you are, whoever may hear this, over the internet, whoever may hear this over a CD, however you may hear it, God has a special place of grace for you. He has a special place beside Him for you. He has a special place that He wants you to feel your fulfillment and comfort with Him. When you have been in a situation where someone has been unfaithful to you, I want you to know there is a constant. There is one who will never change. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not do it. When the Lord says, I will or I will not, He stands by His word. It leads to illness, physical, mental illness. Children feel betrayed. They feel absolutely betrayed. Those things that I thought were supposed to be so solid and fundamental, I now find it looks like everything around me is fluid. I can't depend on anything. Today, they love me. Tomorrow, they're gone. Today, they love me. Tomorrow, they're with their companion. Today, I'm with them. Tomorrow, I don't know where they are. Folks, this is a place it's uncomfortable to have to visit today. But let's pray for our children. I look around in the congregation and I lay in my bed sometimes and I think about it when I'm driving down the road. I look at the situation I've seen in my own life and my own peers. Some will pursue a course of making God the focal point of their lives. Some will pursue a course of making themselves the focal point of their lives. And when they follow that course, there is damage. There's damage that leaches out from that. And I say, may the Lord help us. Help me, Lord. I'd like to close with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Very familiar verse. And ye fathers, and I don't think I do any damage to here to put a slash mothers, ye parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, I say this morning, if you find yourself in this situation, if you find yourself a divorcee, if you find yourself longing, yearning, hungering for fulfillment in life, if you find yourself having been in a place where you enjoyed the relationship between a man and woman, husband and wife, and for whatever reason, that dissipated and it evaporated, if you find yourself in that place, be assured, there is a God who has control of all the events of life. There is a God that loves you enough that He will step in and take that place that no one else can. There is a God who said, let not the eunuch say, I'm a dry tree. I will be to you more than sons and daughters. And I'll give you a name above every name. And what that is talking about, folks, is a situation that is unnatural. Is talking about a situation to a man that's an unnatural situation where he isn't capable of bearing fruit in his life. But he says, I want you to know, I'll be to you more than these little ones could ever be to you. Does every person have that type of hope, dream, ambition? Very likely they do. Some don't want children. But for those that do and can't, the Lord says, I will be to you more than sons and daughters. Does every father hope to have someone come after him to bear his name? Does every father hope for a son that can bear his name and carry that name on? I say yes. I say yes. They want to have their name carried on. They want that name to be remembered. They want some of their offspring to go through life and have that same name behind them. It's not always possible with everyone, folks. But he said, I will give you a name that's above every name. I'll be to you more. I want us to know today that there is a God who can be to you more than crashed hopes and dreams. He can be more than that to you. And I also want us to remember the Scripture very clearly tells us, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. Please pray for me.